And joining us right now is a legend in wrestling, which is known as the American Dream. He has held every championship you can think of, tag team, solo, and pretty much all over the country. He joins us right now in his car, traveling into another bout. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. I hope everybody can hear me. It's great to be on your show, man. Everything's going well. I've been on a book tour down in Florida, headed back for Georgia right now. I'm in my truck and been down there, so everything's been good.
It's interesting, we had on last week Terry Funk, who also wrote a book. Same company, too. You guys wrote for the same publisher.
Yeah, we did. You know, Sports Publishing came on board up until about a year and a half, 2 years ago. They had not done any wrestling books, that genre of book. You know, everything was coming out of the WWE. But, you know, they came on board, and success is, it looks like it's going to be pretty cool. I mean, we're doing, you know, 55 dates or so, and you know, taking it out and bringing it to the people. I'm really excited about it.
And it's, again, folks can get the book from publishing. It's publishingllc.com. It's available. It's called Dusty, the Reflections of an American Dream. And when I think of you, I think great classic matches. And guys like Dick Murdoch and Harley Race and Terry Funk. And you look around and see some of the stuff that's on wrestling and some of the really crazy stuff. In fact, your son Dustin, you know, the Gold Dust thing. I mean, some of these things I'm not thrilled with some of these acts that they have on.
No, Mark, they're out there. I mean, you know, it's a different time. It's a different era that, you know, that I grew up in. It's now. The athletes are younger and quicker, and they get the music and the lights and the bombs going off and the excitement that surrounds what television, the media of TV, as you know yourself, has just made this thing available. From what we knew, where it was syndicated television shows, we'd come to Boston, and we'd go to New York, and we'd go to different areas. But now it's just a national primetime event, and it's just like the company I'm with now, TNA, Total Nonstop Action. We're just getting our feet wet on the Fox Sports Network, you know, and trying to get better time slots. We're doing pay-per-views. But we're at least making moves towards, you know, some exciting things. I mean, Tito Ortiz coming on board with his May the 15th pay-per-view called Hard Justice with Jerry and AJ Styles. So we're trying to make our way in there, too, and not just let it be a one-man ball game, you know?
Exactly. That's the problem. In fact, you know, years ago, when you guys were starting out, when Terry was around, and all, there were different federations and different people in different parts of the country doing promotions, and you'd go from one to the other, and you'd be, you know, the bad guy going in there for a little while, or you go in there and help up with the other guys. That's the kind of stuff that's not happening anymore. It's just not the same.
No, but, you know, and there were 26. I talk about it in the book a lot, where we talk about the concept of the way our industry was and the way we grew up in it and all the different areas and territorial systems that we could go to. And like you said, I mean, you know, I tell the story from the book. You went to another area, you had your run there, and you moved on. It was a great variety of things. And then, of course, you know, Vince, you know, when he took it all, they thought that was going to be the end of it. And then with the TNA thing, like I said, you know, we're making some waves. ECW tried to make some waves. We ended up, you know, gobbling them out. But, you know, we have a great opportunity with some young and old talent to make some headway if we have the right TV and the right spot. So, you know, but the book is, you know, it was enjoyable to do because it told some history and story, and I think the fans are going to love it. And just enjoy it a lot, you know. And tell stories like you have the questions you ask, and they're answered in the book.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the reason why I'm asking, because they are in there.
And it's
I loved it because it's a quiz. It's the same thing when I was talking with Terry. I mean, I enjoy all the characters that were around and your comments on it. And it's kind of you know, it's kind of fun to go through this and kind of relive some of the things.
Yeah, yes, and it's you know, but it's more than just about me. The dream character, the wrestler. It's about my family, and it's about the emotional side of me. They get a different look at somebody that was you know, that they looked up to, and they bought tickets to see. And the same goes with Terry. I mean, you know, it's just an era, and we just have to just still be out there, you know, going around the country and just trying to make it happen. So. But, you know, it's one part of the book I enjoyed was going back and dreaming not dreaming, but taking a look at, say, okay, these guys are all in their prime. They're not old. They're in their prime. How would you match them up, and what would be your big super card, Starcade card? And I have that in the book, and kind of tell some stories about that. So I think the fans will enjoy, you know, what I see as and who are my idols, and who are my stars that I looked up to.
I mean, it seems to me like the way the wrestling's going, people can wrestle pretty much till, I mean, Terry Funk's in his 60s. He's wrestling. He's still doing it, you know. You're out there and you're in your 50s. Hulk Hogan is me.
Yeah, he is good. And also just got a new hip, you know. I mean, but I don't know, man. It's like entertainment. It's like something else that you just keep going and you get back and you're doing, you know, you're going to the building. You find yourself going to places where you know, this weekend coming up in Gaffney, South Carolina, you know, I got a couple big book things going on in, you know, in Charlotte on Friday and Saturday, but Saturday night, me and Terry Funk are in Gaffney, and it's almost like you're going back to where you started, and the fans are coming out now, they're bringing their kids and saying, hey, you know, this is, you know, but it's something I enjoy doing. I mean, it's what I do, so it's not like work anymore.
Yeah, hey, you know, make sure, Dusty, that you take it easy on the old man, okay?
I'm going to kick his butt. You know that, Mark. You know, I'm gonna jump in with both feet, buddy.
That's funny.
Like, oh, I got to defend myself. I mean, you know what I mean? Jesus. But it's some fun. And, you know, when you want to look and see what I'm doing and where we're going, like you said, a lot of motivational speaking going on in DustyRoseWrestling.com. And you can find out all about that and the book with Sports Publishing, Amazon, and, you know, and so it's, you know, even in the Boston area, you know, going up there and going to talk to Philly yesterday, a bunch of Philadelphia, and the book seems to be doing really well. So it's just, and I appreciate you guys giving it a shot, giving it a plug.
You know, we talk about entertainment, and of course, you know, when Vince McMahon mm-hmm. testified in the trial about wrestling being, you know, sports entertainment.
Right.
But interestingly enough, some of the stars of this entertainment have become movie stars. Hulk Hogan has done TV and movies.
Hold on,
I haven't got that yet. Terry, of course, was in Paradise Alley and Over the Top. You played Deputy Johnny Morton in Paradise Park and were in Gold Raiders and It's My Turn. So there's a lot of relations there about, you know, movies and TV and wrestling, and it seems like a natural connection.
Yeah, it is. It's just like the you know, Rock has become the movie star. And,
right.
And it's, you know, how he got the... You know how he got to that genre was, you know, through our industry, and so, you know, and I guess John Cena and you know, most of them guys are doing that. A lot of TV. Our NWA champion Jeff Jarrett just was on the, you know, the Blue Collar comedy show, you know, with Fox Worthy and them guys.
Sure.
And
yeah.
I just read for a part in Deadwood, the series on HBO. And, you know, so everybody's kind of branching out and doing different things. But I think you're right. I think our industry just really lends towards, you know, you having that whole outlook and concept of what's going on. Not only a great athlete, but you got to talk on TV. You got to tell stories. You got to be in sitcoms. So I think we got a leg up from a lot of people. So I think that's what you're saying and what I see happening too.
Yeah, you actually expanded out because you're not only wrestling anymore. We touched upon it about TNA. You're seen on screen as the director of Authority, but I mean,
right.
Behind the scenes, you're one of the guys writing the stories and kind of casting it and doing all the things that's going on. It's a huge responsibility, but it seems to me I'm really happy that you're doing it because to have one guy doing it and nobody else just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I think that I've done it for a long time, you know, with Crockett and the NWA and Turner and TBS and behind the scenes, but now I look at it a little bit different as far as the writing, the concept of writing and being the executive producer of the TV show and what goes on the air is important. And so I'm actually not, even though Director of Authority, I'm there, but I'm not physically involved match-wise, so I've taken a different look and on my writing and on characters, and, you know, I talk a lot about this kid, AJ Styles. I mean, you know, Jeff Jarrett is a great champion for us. You know, NWA, he's a throwback to that old era, but there's not a more phenomenal athlete, I don't think, in the country than AJ Styles to get an opportunity to see him. That's why I think we need primetime television, put us on a primetime spot. And then and only then, Mark, will you be able to see that if we're able to compete with Vince or not. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Now, have you got Dustin working for you, or is he still working for the WWE?
He's with us at TNA. Yeah, Dustin Rhodes. Yeah, he's with us. And
what about Cody? Is he working?
Cody and Teal are in Los Angeles, and they're at the Howard Fine Studio, Actors Studio. Cody's 19, and they went out there and moved out there, and they want to be actors, and they're chasing their dream. And Cody especially. Right now is really involved in the studio at Howard Fine, one of the best acting coaches anywhere in the country. And Teal, so they got some gigs coming up. So we look to see them on screen pretty soon.
Yeah, and you got some beautiful daughters there.
They are. Kristen was a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader, my oldest daughter.
Wow.
And Teal Margaret is like I said, her and Cody moved to L.A. And Dustin, I've been blessed, I've got my bride of 26 years with me right here in the truck right now, sitting over here. So
Well, that kind of brings me to another question. I'm glad you brought it up. I know you're talking about Michelle.
Yeah, and she's right here. Yeah,
glad,
yeah.
I'm glad to hear that because I was talking to Terry and during one of the things that's in his book that I thought was really powerful was when he took over his dad's promotion after his dad died.
Yes.
And it ended up breaking up his family. Because of all the time he spent, and eventually he came back, and his wife came back to him, and all that stuff.
Yes.
But the business is really tough on a marriage. How do you keep it together all these years?
It's just it takes a special woman. I'm telling you, they're just. And that's true about when they had split and got back together. Him and Vicky, and she's just she's a warrior. They are. And his book, I'm sure, in my book, when you talk about the wives in this business, but I think in any entertainment business, it's like that. When you look at the movie stars and their wives, and they go through them and everything, the really special relationships are just built over a period of time, and there's bad and good times happen, but, they're just they're a special breed, man. They're pioneers, But I enjoyed writing them, writing about Michelle and the book and about the children and seeing the other side of me, and I'm sure he did too.
Well, there's a great picture in there of you sporting a shit-eating grin with your wife.
Yes, it is. Yes. I look good, though.
You do.
The
book is Dusty, Reflections of an American Dream, and Howard Brody helped you write this thing, huh?
Yeah, he did. I brought him on board. I interviewed about four or five guys, and I was good friends with him, and he had done some writing. It was more or less where I had about 300 pages or so of stuff that I had put down and a tremendous amount of tapes and Howard knew me, he knew my history, he knew my background, he knew how I talked, he knew what I wanted out of it, and so I just set him up in front of a computer and a typewriter and laid the story out and ciphered through all the papers we had, and he did a great job. I was very proud of him, and it was a great honor to have George, the boss himself, do the forward for me, so it made for a nice package.
Yeah, now George Steinbrenner is not a fan, and we're not fans of him around in Boston.
Well, I'm a huge Yankee fan, so I'm not fans of. I'm fans of Boston, but not the Red Sox.
Oh.
I like Boston, and I was a great Celtic player. Will always be my favorite basketball team of all. I love New England Patriots. I hate with a passion the Boston Red Sox.
Why is that?
I'm just a Yankee. I've been a Yankee since I grew up in Texas and New York. A Yankee fan my whole life, mammal and everything, and it was heartbreaking for us to let y'all win this World Series this last year.
Well, get used to it.
I know it. It could. I'm telling you, we looked bad last night.
Yeah, I don't understand what happened to the Yankees this year.
We looked bad last night from the pitching to the, to the old. I've got a letter from the boss himself. After I've seen the book, I sent him the book. We communicate back and forth, and he had wrote me a real nice letter because I said you got two choices: you can do the forward to the book, or I can manage the Yankees. Well, he did the forward of the book, and then he wrote me back and said, "I'm not so sure about you not managing the Yankees." That's where they were in the first slump. So. But they'll come out of it. I hope there'll be some pitching, but I love being a Yankee.
Yeah, one of the things that really stands out in the book here is your deep love and respect for Dick Murdoch. Tell us a little bit about how you got so close to him and why you miss him so much.
I think, you know, he was one of them guys that, being Texans, you can tell us, but you can't tell us much, you know, and I mean, he was just a man's man, and he was the first person that I really hooked up with in the industry, and, you know, we lived together for over 300 days a year, I mean, nonstop, all over the country, and traveling in a car, and from town to town, and we forged a relationship that money can't buy. It was just a phenomenal time, and he had tremendous athletic ability, and he was a real throwback. His dad was a wrestler. He grew up around the Funk and Amarillo, and we just hit it off. We became best buds, so he's on a little trip right now, but he's out there somewhere.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We had I had on Bruno Sammartino years ago and talked to him, and he was really, really nice to me. I was kind of surprised at how nice he was, but in the book, he doesn't come across as the greatest guy.
Hey, Bruno? Well, he was an aging star when I first met him. He was not really aging. He wasn't that old, but an older star, and there was somebody else going to take his spot or take that place and pass the torch, and he was a proud guy. You know, I always have a lot of respect for him when I see him. He was one of the pioneers that took us into this new era that we started during the 70s, and then Hogan took us to a different era, him and Vince, as we moved into the 80s and 90s.
He was very honest, and when I talked to him, in fact, that was probably about, 10 years ago maybe, when he was on the show.
And that was a good time. Yeah, that was a good time back.
And it was a good time back, and it was before anything came out about sports entertainment and stuff, and he mentioned, that, it was well produced and choreographed, and it was still real wrestling, and it was still real work, mm-hmm. and, people still got hurt for real, but he was the first one to say that, and the Boston Globe actually put an article in from the interview I did, and it was kind of the first mention in newspapers about that particular subject.
Yeah, when it became a public domain almost, Vince and he said the trial and all that came about, I mean, people started to look into it, but I don't think the fan really cared, the real fan. I think they wanted this just like going to a movie. I don't want to know the end of the movie when I walk in the theater. I want to be able to say for 2 hours I'm involved in this movie and I believe it, and it's tremendous and whatever. And then about going home, I said, oh, that really didn't happen. That's cool. That's your own business. But I think our industry does that, and the fans want to go for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and holler and scream at the bad guy and pitch a bitch really, and enjoy what's happening. So I think that's the greatest form of our entertainment. The sports entertainment is that 2 hours of to where you suspend reality, I guess. And
you're right.
I think that's important.
You know what I think? What I consider it, I've always considered wrestling to be theater, like live theater with different characters on stage, and it's up to the actors on the stage to make the people in the audience believe they are who they are.
Yeah, and I think when you do that, when you have the most success, and I think the people really want to believe.
They do.
They want to be involved, and like I said, it might be 2 hours a day, 2 hours a weekend, or 2 hours a night, and they don't want to hear anything about, this guy's going to win or whatever. They want to go and pick their favorites, and that's what makes them so unique. The wrestling fan is just an unbelievable, diehard, loyal fan. My fans are so loyal to me, and they bring their kids along to be loyal to me, and they show them all tapes, and they just, it's been a great marriage and relationship with my fans.
Are there any plans to put out some of your classic matches on DVD, or are they already being done?
No, we probably will. I'm working on the audio book right now, too, so when you're driving in the car, and you can hear my voice and tell the story about it. But there's other things that I want to do. We're doing some lot of motivational speaking, and like I said, at DustyRoadsWrestling.com, you can go on and find out where I'm at and what I'm doing, and it's a great ride. I'm having a lot of fun right now.
So the website is DustyRoadsWrestling.com.
Com. Yeah, it's one of the best sites going. It's I'm partnered up with quite a few people, and we really work on this site, and you know, it's just.
Well, we'll put up a link to it. We'll link this interview to that site.
Oh, that'd be good. I appreciate it. Yeah, that'd be very cool. Well, Mark, I appreciate it, bud.
It was nice to have you on, Dusty, and continue fighting and continue having fun and stay healthy.
Thank you very much.
Say hi to Michelle.
Hello. Okay, I will.
Okay, take care.
Thank you, Mark.
Bye. Bye-bye.